Good morning. So as Malcolm said, I'll be presenting on work I did during my master's program at UIC, and the title of the presentation is An Assessment of Perceived Health Needs in a Haitian-Run Internally Displaced Persons Camp in Carrefour, Port-au-Prince, Haiti. And I have no financial relationships to disclose. So here's a brief overview of what I'll be presenting today. I'll provide some background and significance to Haiti, share the data sources and methods for this work, provide some results and discussion, and then talk about the limitations of the study and then the broader public health implications of this work. And there are some pictures in the presentation. They have all been taken by myself or some of the colleagues while we were in Haiti. So this work was done in March 2011. Some MPH students and emergency medicine residents visited Grace International Resettlement Community in Carrefour. There were between 10,000 and 15,000 internally displaced persons during that time. We were at the camp for 1 week, and the project goals were to assess the perceived health needs and understand illness and health issue presentation at the clinic. There was a clinic associated with the camp. It had been staffed by MSF after the earthquake, but they had left 1 month prior to our arrival. So before then, no one was staffing the clinic, and then the emergency medicine residents who came staffed it for 1 week. And they through staffing the clinic, the medicines were procured in the U.S. and transported to Haiti. So this may be a little bit hard to see. This is a satellite image of the Grace International IDP camp. And the middle left is the Grace Hospital, which actually was never completed. That's where we stayed when we were working on this assessment. And just north of it is a small building, which was where the clinic was housed. So as I'm sure many of you know, in January of 2010, Haiti experienced an earthquake. It killed 230,000 people, injured over 300,000, and displaced over 1.2 million Haitians. 80% of those people have since returned to permanent housing, but there are over 350,000 Haitians who continue to live in tent camps, and conditions are worsening, and I'll touch on that a little bit more later. So these are the two primary data sources that I'll be discussing today. We conducted household surveys. We did almost 150 of those. And we also collected patient medical records for those who visited the camp clinic while we were staffing it. We also conducted focus groups, key informant interviews, and geospatial mapping, but they were not the focus of what I'm presenting today. And the patient medical records and household surveys were collected over the same six-day period in March 2011. So the household surveys were administrated orally with the assistance of a translator. We did a stratified random sample of the 9 camp sectors, and we selected households via a stratified random sampling method proportionate to the number of tents in each of the 9 sectors. We worked with camp administration and determined the number of households through tent registration records. They did have records of the tents, although the accuracy is potentially questionable. So research teams visited every 9th house within each sector, and potential subjects were asked for their permission to complete the survey via verbal informed consent. The research team interviewed residents to assess the social and clinical behaviors in which camp community members accessed care. Camp residents over 18 were recruited to participate in the survey and were asked general demographic questions about the composition of the household, current health status, and health behaviors of household members. The survey was administered in Creole through trained interpreters. The survey consisted of 30 questions and took about 10 minutes to complete. We also collected patient medical records for all visitors of the camp clinic, and the research received UIC IRB approval. So here are some select results from our household survey. As I mentioned before, we collected some demographic information. The mean household size was 5 persons. Almost 65% were female-headed households. Almost 60% had at least one child under 5 years old. 18% had at least one pregnant woman in the household. And 8% had at least one person over 65 years old. Some of the other results, 91.3% of households claimed that children had received vaccinations, and 36% of households sought health care in the last month. These are the top four most prevalent household health concerns, with headaches at 16.8%, stomach acid reflux at 12.8%, hypertension at 3.6%, and diabetes at 0.5%. We also collected information about the medications most used by households, and the top three were for fever, malaria, and infection. So here are some results from the patient medical records we collected from the CAMP clinic. As you can see, we saw 2,260 patients over 6 days. Patients were potentially from the CAMP, but also could have been from the surrounding neighborhood. We didn't turn anyone away. And care was complementary. So the top two most prevalent disease presentations were OBGYN-related concerns and infectious disease. So here's a comparison between the most prevalent household medical concerns as elicited in the household survey versus the most prevalent patient disease presentation in the clinic. There are some differences, and as I mentioned before, some potential reasons for this discrepancy are differences in the catchment area and potential chronic versus acute medical needs. The clinic was there short term. There were long waits, so it's possible that people with more acute medical concerns were willing to wait in the lines to be seen. So from this snapshot, we were able to assess current needs and postulate on their primary causes. Many spoke about intermittent access to clean and reliable water and their reliance on treating water with aqua taps or other water treatment mechanisms. There was water available in the clinic, in the camp, but it was run by generator, which was often turned off or reset, so it was not water was not always available. The main themes in healthcare focused on maternal and child health issues and women's health, along with chronic disease. Many residents referenced chronic headaches and fears about the possibility of another earthquake. We didn't focus much on mental health concerns, but they definitely were prevalent from our experiences with the household survey. Really, one of the most salient themes was the need for a means of livelihood. We kept hearing this from residents. An IDP camp is inherently temporary, even though there's potential that it may last a long time before people are transferred to more permanent housing. Camp residents were looking for employment, permanent housing, and access to reliable food. So there are several limitations to this study, including institutional constraints, highly mobile population, which potentially led to poor camp records and that people were moving in and out all the time. It's possible that significant percentage of the patients we saw in the clinic were from outside the camp. From our settlement survey, it was a small sample size, and we did rely on translators, so it's possible we weren't able to get all the information from the translators. It's inherently a cross-sectional study, and there are some lasting concerns with land rights, housing, and human rights. We've been keeping track of the Grace International IDP camp, and it seems like the past several months there have been reported violent clashes between the police and the residents, so that's definitely a lasting concern and something to be considered when trying to find permanent housing for residents. So for the public health implications, IDP camp composition can provide vital information about perceived community health needs and the actual needs of patients who are accessing care in this situation. rapid assessments are useful in disaster settings for several reasons, including that they can influence service delivery plans for disaster response organizations and can assist governments to determine and respond to health needs of IDP residents after a natural disaster. There also are important proximal versus distal considerations in terms of prioritizing providing clean, reliable water versus finding stable living arrangements so people can continue on with their lives. But understanding health needs and health literacy levels is potentially important to effectively prevent and treat illness. So I want to say merci en pile to the residents of Grace Village for their candor, and to Dr. Janet Lynn and the UIC School of Public Health for their support and guidance throughout this project. Thank you.